Hey, Backspin community, my name is Leon. I'm sitting here with an, I don't want to say upcoming artist because he really blew up over the last years. His name is Blast. He's from Los Angeles. Hey, man, how are you doing? You doing good?
I'm doing good. I'm on top of the world. I can't complain at all.
Man, you're really on top of the world. That's what I was thinking when I was looking at the last years. You had a long road and it seemed like you took the stairs all the time, but for the last year, you just jumped in the elevator right away. Is that true?
Yeah, it's been a slow grind. I like to call it like a snowball effect. Like the more I move down, the bigger I get. So yeah, it's been a blessing overall.
Yet you also talk about that on your two songs of the new album. You have Still On My Way, where you describe that you it's still a progress. You're still going up. But then you also have the song like Talk To Me Nicely, where you clearly say, man, I'm not that guy from a couple of years ago, so I moved something. Is there like a inner difference, like two moods in you? There's on the one hand you're still on the progress, but on the other hand you made it.
Yeah, I think naturally, like my spirit is humble, so that's like the Still On My Way, just acknowledging my process, the journey, but also like gonna talk to me nicely in the same sentiment, noticing my journey in a different perspective. Like you did come a long way. You should pat yourself on the back as you move forward.
But is there like for an artist any point where you be like, okay, I made it, I can relax, or is there still a long, long way to go?
Still got a long way to go for sure. I think I just got a foot in the door. And right now I'm just super focused, but at the same time, I pretty much accomplished a lot of stuff that I dreamed of as a kid. So sometimes the reflective songs or the reflective moments be bigger than what I imagined, you know?
I totally, yeah, man, you had a big accomplished this year and also over the last years. Also, it's your debut album, right? But it doesn't feel like a debut album after 5 years in the industry or more than 5 years.
I wouldn't really consider this my debut album. I kind of approached it weird with No Love Lost. It was 8 songs and then we added 6 songs, which made it a full length. And then this one was a full length straight out the jump. But I don't know. I don't know what really considers a debut, but I like to look at my next one as a debut.
So you're still not as a, it's still not your debut. You still want to go higher and higher, right, with your, because you're doing this thing when I looked it up for like, what now, 6 years, 7 years. And you started as a producer. Mm-hmm. And also I see in you like a one man powerhouse because you're a producer, you're a singer, obviously a rapper, but then I looked it up and you're also doing like graphic designs. Yeah. So you're 100% independent. And is this independence the thing that you need to control all the moves that you do, or how is it working? Are you learning more and more? Okay, maybe I have to give some things to other people, get them in the boat. Are you still, man, I do it my way and how I want to do it?
I think it's a certain balance I had to find myself. Like early on, it was more so out of necessity. I didn't have no graphic designer. I didn't have no producers, no engineers. So I made it a point to teach myself as if I had to teach myself. But as I got busier, you know, as I got partners that I can pretty much lean on, I think it's smarter to utilize your team. Work smarter, not harder. So, but that comes with trust. You got to have a level of trust in your circle in order to still have your artist integrity. You want to protect your vision. So, yeah.
That's like the point. I can imagine if you're like, if somebody is doing graphics for you or somebody, an external producer is producing something for you and you'd be like, I would do this and that to make it better. So are you always in like the executive process involved, even if somebody else is doing stuff for you?
Yeah, I'm always in executive role for sure. Like I always gotta have the last say. So it could be the smallest thing, but I'm gonna tweak it to my liking all the time. From the graphics to the production, always gotta be hands on.
But that's also like when you're doing everything your way. I had this one thing in mind because I saw it in the other interview where you're, of course, a hip hop artist, but also great singer with an angel voice, and somebody referred to you as like the new hook dude. And I think that's like the main problem with, like, I think, like, singer, songwriter, and rap music, that there always seems like, oh, that's the dude for the hook. We call him, we get a nice hook. So how do you keep, like, build up your own legacy besides the guy that hops on tracks to just do a nice hook? And because you have, like, your own project that is so big and so huge.
I think what I did was make sure I didn't have too many features on my projects, so the sole focus could be on me, so you could see my layers, and you could see my diversity. And then, but I don't mind collaborating, but it's a certain balance. You can't spread yourself too thin, because I still have my own story to tell. But I look at it as a compliment overall. It's an honor to be able to have hooks, you know? So it's dope.
That also, like, you did a lot of, like, big hip-hop artists. I have to be honest, like, the first time I heard you was last year on Nas King's Disease 2. Mm. That was crazy. But now, like, this year, everything changed. You are on maybe the best album of this year. Probably right. It is already. Like, you're on the new Kendrick album, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. Like, how did that came across? Because I know you produced a song for him, like, mm-hmm. when you started off, but now you're doing the hook and the outro. So how did that came off?
It was crazy. It was random, bro. It was random. I was at my house, random day. So I get this random text like, yo, it was Kendrick's manager. His name is Anthony. He's like, yo, this is Anthony Soleil. Kendrick's trying to connect with you. So I'm thinking it's a prank, right? I'm like, who is this? So I text my manager. I'm like, you know anybody named Anthony Soleil? Talking about they manage Kendrick and Nas. He's like, yeah, that's a real person. So I text him back. I'm like, yeah, I'm about to throw y'all on FaceTime in 5 minutes. So I'm still thinking it's a joke. 5 minutes pass. We hop on FaceTime. Yo, what the deal? I'm like, oh, that's crazy. He was just like, I respect what you got going. I got a project. I've been cooking up. Got a couple ideas. I'm going to shoot you. And that was the idea he sent over.
But, like, what does it do to you? Because I can imagine working with Kendrick, it's like top secret. Like, you can't even tell, like, your best friends or somebody else, because, like, Kendrick, I think a Kendrick project after like 5 years or something is the biggest secret that the whole world has. Like, what did it do to your mind working on that project?
You know, it's crazy. Like, I didn't really feel the impact till afterwards. Like, I'm so wrapped up in, like, work mode that I didn't overthink it. I just did what I've been doing, because I felt like that's what got me the call in the first place. I felt like if I would have overthunk it, like, he ain't dropped the album in 5 years, how am I gonna live up to this magnitude? Then I would have probably dropped the ball. So I trusted the fact that he trusted me, and I just went with what I knew.
Yeah, man, it came out like a beautiful song. I really love it. And you also have like this one line, this one quote that sticks with me all the time when you say, pray for London. And you probably refer to Lauren London, like the wife of Nipsey Hussle, who tragically passed away. And you're from LA. So Nipsey is always seen as like this dude who has so much influence, but not even with the music, but with his mindset and the thing that he's doing for his community and the people around him. And I noticed, like, also on the Nas track, your bar where you're setting, make sure my people got a plate before me. So how does this type of mindset impact you, like the people around you, taking them with you, and everybody has to eat before you?
Man, I think ultimately, me having a son really made me realize it's bigger than me. Like, everything I do can affect so many other people's lives. So I don't take that lightly. You know, any move I make, I think of it with intention, with purpose, because I know that I have the ability to affect other people around me. And whether that I express that through the music or through my day-to-day life, I just want to continue that.
But was it different before you got a son? You were more like, okay, I look at myself first and then?
Yeah, I was for sure more self-centered before I became a father, you know, because I grew up the youngest kid out of my siblings. So I was always spoiled, always thinking about myself, and I never really had to put somebody in front of me. But as soon as I had my son, I had to become a man instantly. You know, it was somebody else depending on me for everything. And that was a challenge for me.
Yeah, well, I want to ask, was it hard if you just got pushed in it? Because like from one day you just, okay, I can look at myself, and then on the next day, man, everything's gonna change.
It was a total shift. And I wasn't in the right financial position. So I really had to get it out the mud. I really had to figure it out, figure out my next meal, where I'm gonna sleep that night. And then now I gotta think about where this next person gonna sleep or eat. It was just crazy, you know. So, but it made me who I am. So I appreciate it.
Instead, also like the, I don't know, when I think about you, it's so crazy that you're doing this thing for so long, and now all of a sudden, I think since 1 year, nobody, you can't like listen to anything and not talk about you. That's super crazy. And you're also like in LA, which is like the melting pot for music, and everybody wants to do music, everybody wants to get out there. So how affected this city around you, your music and your style, and also like, okay, maybe the drive that you got?
Yeah, my city, I think my city is everything. It's a certain pride we have out here. And you're right, it's a lot of talent out here to really crack through. And it's crazy that I'm in my position, but I think I was more strategic early on. Like, I knew exactly what I wanted. I knew exactly the sound I wanted to push through. I felt like I knew what was missing being from out here. And I didn't just rush and flood everything out. You know, I wanted to build a catalog and really approach it in a real artist perspective. I didn't care about going viral. I wanted to do hard ticket sales. And I think me taking the stairs, like you said earlier, instead of the elevator, just paid off. Because in my eyes, I feel like I've been doing this for 10 plus years, but to somebody else, it may look like it's overnight. So,
but yeah. Does this also describe where your sound is coming from? Because you're like in between hip hop, R&B, it's all together now, but you're one of those people that just can pull everything together. You can do a verse, you can do 16 bars, but you can come out with like a full melodic song and everything. Was that also like a thing? Okay, I want to do it different. I don't want to be just a rapper or just an R&B dude. I want to meld everything together.
Yeah, I think that just comes from being a fan of the art in general, like seeing artists like Pharrell, how they can live in different worlds. He can do a song with Snoop Dogg, then go do a song with Justin Timberlake. Like, I don't want no limitations to what I can do. So, yeah.
That's also a thing that I've thought about, because R&B music is always, I think when I think about R&B music, it's more, it seems like it's more from the heart. And also like the topics that you rap about, for example, like love and things that are, you have to really let your guard down and be naked in front of everybody. Was that hard in the beginning, like talking about those specific topics that maybe in like the most common rap songs are not that big of a deal?
Early on, it was kind of easy because I made it on the surface. But as I like developed as a man, I start speaking on personal topics, and it became challenging because now I'm speaking on other people in my circle, you know. So I just had to find that balance. And but ultimately, they like my circle, they trust me, whether it be my relationship, my family issues, anything I spill in my music personally. I feel like they understand that this is my therapy, this is my outlet outside of anything. So I got over it.
But is this outlet also like sometimes a little bit problematic? I mean, if you talk about like really personal stuff, it's not just you that is that is hit by it, but also like the people around you. And I can imagine, man, if some of my friends would do a song where I would, especially in there, I would be like, oh man, that's hard.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but at the end of the day, it's my art. I have faced in problems, certain things I said in my line, whether it be an issue with a family member or, you know, my relationship. But like I said, it's therapeutic for me, so I can't stop on their behalf. I can't control how they feel, because I always speak on it from my perspective, never from theirs anyway. So it's a level of respect you still have to include.
That's also the point. Like you show them all, you show all your homies and everybody respect in your music. As I said before, the line on the Nas song, but that's not the only line. You have a bunch of it, especially on the new album. But what I also found like super interesting, you came up, I think you really blew in like your, I mean, No Love Lost was 2020, right? So it was right in the pandemic.
Yeah.
Was that hard for you? Because as an artist, you also want to go on tour and want to develop, like want to see crowds going up. How did that make you feel?
Man, it was crazy. I'm like, damn, as soon as I put out my project, we in a shutdown, but I already knew that we was approaching that. But ultimately, I feel like it worked in my favor because my music is more conversational. You know, it's like you can listen to it while you're in solitude. So a lot of people got to really connect with what I was saying and feel what I was saying instead of just turning up to it and just it passing by. So I like that people got to kind of sit with it. In the videos we dropped, they kind of was in sync with each other. And, you know, Netflix was like the biggest thing when everybody was in pandemic. So it was like everybody was binge watching or binge listening to Blast around that time.
So was that also the point why your visuals are so big for a music video? Or was that just like your artistic choice from the beginning? Okay, you don't have to do music videos nowadays with streaming services and everything anymore, but I want to do it because I want to express myself also in this particular form of art.
Yeah, for sure. I think early on, I just wanted that to be a part of my brand, like cohesive storytelling through the audio and the video. So I'm gonna continue to do that with my next project, even before you go, all the videos in sync with each other too. So I'm gonna continue to do that for all my projects.
And what I also saw, like, but you've been on tour already, right? After the pandemic, I think in the US you could tour last year, right? Or was it the beginning of this year? That was last year. And how did that made you feel like seeing all the people showing off to your concert? Because I saw like you're doing Los Angeles 2 times, Seattle 2 times. So first time you connect with your fans, right?
It was crazy, bro. Like I really didn't understand the magnitude of my music until I really got on the road, like Seattle, New York, certain places. I didn't even fathom them knowing who I was. To see a packed house was just mind blowing. Now I feel even more confident to see how it's affecting all parts of the world, you know?
But do you enjoy like the tour life? Because I always hear from people in the industry, man, it's stressful. It's stressful. But how was it?
It was kind of stressful. It's a lot, you know? You got to really pay attention to yourself, to your body, how you eating. So the first one I got blessed because it was a small tour. It was like 18 dates. But I think it mentally prepared me for the next one. It's going to be like 30, 35 dates or something like that. So, but I'm going to have a trainer. I'm going to try to eat right. I'm going to just try to have my head on straight. We'll see.
Yeah, the next tour, end of this year, you're also coming to Germany. You're coming to 4 places in Germany, which is crazy for like in US artists to see, because I know like how things work. You know where your fan base is and be able to directly go on 4 spots in Germany. Did you ever been to Europe before?
Nah. The only place I've been is London. So it's a lot I'm missing out on. I gotta feel the vibes out.
So how does this make you feel? Because I can imagine if you never been to Europe, it's like probably the biggest accomplishment. Seeing, okay, US is crazy, but people that don't even speak my language, I can go there and turn up with everybody.
Wow, yeah, that's gonna be crazy. I didn't even realize that. Like, I want to stay oblivious to the culture. Like, I want to get there and be shocked and just be like, oh, look at that, So I don't want to do too much research before I get there. I just want to naturally feel the culture.
That's super nice, because I can tell you one thing, which like almost every US artist is saying, like European crowds are way crazier than the American crowds. I don't know what it is, but I was at a Denzel Curry concert like one week ago, talked to him, and he said the same thing. He's like, man, I go to US, it's nice. If I come to Europe, like, everybody's just going crazy. And I think that's going to be the same for you. You completely different emotions.
Yeah, I'm excited. I feel like the appreciation is different too, because, you know, US artists are rarely out there. So it's like a moment to really cherish.
Man, but it's so good to see you just up on top, achieving all the stuff. I'm pretty sure like everything we're going to see over the next years from you, it's going to be crazy.
Thank you.
I'm really blessed talking to you. Do you have any last words for the audience out there in Germany, in Europe, for everybody that's listening?
Man, I'm excited to come out there. Thank you for streaming No Love Lost. Thank you for streaming Before You Go. I can't wait to touch down and go crazy, man. It's number love.
Thank you, man.